Hallo, hallo. Okay, so I guess I'll start because it's 4:15 now. Well, what I'm going to do today is just a brief demonstration of how you can use Wireshark to look at different types of protocols. What I'm going to do is HTTP versus HTTPS. Just look at the differences. So if you have done this before, it's probably going to be boring. But if not, you might learn something. Well, when I started making this presentation, I thought, what if you had a network that had only that was completely open, just with for example, a hotspot that was not really secured from anything, and that every type of communication were sent over HTTP, not with any types of measures. How would that look? Do you have any ideas? If you're looking at the packages,
that'll be just data.
Yeah, you'll see this. So this is a basic GET request that's getting a HTML file, and that's the server replying with the 200 OK. I'll give you the data. This is not really a problem because you can't avoid this either with TLS, because you'll always see that you're contacting some IP at least, but you probably won't see what types of files. So how does this look in Wireshark? Yeah, that's the one. So you can see. Oops. Yeah. So we can see you can you get everything, and we can look at the package, and you can actually look at the content of the package, and you can look at what types of data that is leaked, more or less.
Can it be bigger or not?
Hmm.
Can it be bigger?
Probably. It's hard to read. Can you see?
It's on the screen.
See something on the screen.
That doesn't help.
Do we do something about the lighting, please? Turn off the lighting.
Probably you. I don't think I can make it bigger.
Screen and it's readable.
Yeah. So here we can see what type of, for example, what kind of agent I was using at the time, which is a Mozilla. And I can see that there are some, what I can accept and what I don't accept. But you can take this one step further, and you can, I have prepared a capture with, that has some, pictures in it, so you could, for example, export all the stuff you can find in the capture. Where, for example, this is the wrong. I have made a different capture with this one. So this is just basically a GET request for a simple index page that I made, which, as you can see, is a test.html. And you could carve out, for example, I have hidden some trees in here for you. You can save this picture. And for you guys, this is the matrix. Have you seen the movie? As you can see, this is a matrix, and we can confirm that this is a matrix. So you get every type of information that the client has been looking at without HTTP. You can easily carve it out and look at what the browser has been doing fairly easy. So you can imagine the consequences. I've seen some login forms that are still in HTTP, which is not really a good idea, because then you send everything in plain text, which is interesting, to say the least. This is how HTTP looks, HTTPS looks like when you when it's got enabled. So for those who can't resolve IPv6s for in their head, this is a me browsing VG, the local Norwegian newspaper. And as you can see, my first request isn't hidden, but I am redirected to HTTPS, and the rest of my conversation is encrypted. I know Patrick have gone through the TLS handshake, more or less, and this is what you see here. First, we send the client says hello to try to get a response from the server. The server says hello, and the client sends sends what type of cipher is used, what he accepts, and the server changes the cipher, and then the whole transmission is sent. And as we can see in this package, the data doesn't really make sense. It's pretty much unreadable, and you can't really see what's happening in this package compared to that of HTTPS. And yeah, that's basically what I wanted to show you guys. So if you want to play around with some packages yourself, there's Wireshark has an own capture page which has a lot of examples that you can browse and use to just look at data, how it's flowing. And you can of course also download Wireshark and do your own captures, more or less. Yeah, that's what I wanted to show you guys.
Who has worked with Wireshark before?
Yeah.
Other way around, who hasn't? So as an exercise, indeed, see if you can capture HTTP and HTTPS and see what you can actually extract from that. See if you can find the handshake protocol yourself.
Me and a colleague of mine and Jørgen is doing research on what he can tell about the stream in its encrypted form. So just analyzing the encrypted form of TLS and seeing what you can understand about the data sent. And it's really interesting, I think. Now Jørgen will show you something more interesting.
Okay, so last year we had the same type of assignment as you've received for assignment 3, a scientific paper. We wrote our paper on Heartbleed that Patrick talked about briefly in the lecture. Now, this is quite an interesting bug, and it's really didn't get the attention I think it should. The Heartbeat extension was an extension to allow the DTLS protocols to figure out if a peer is still alive. So a user could send a Heartbeat request, and that request would be answered immediately by the host saying, OK, I'm here. The Heartbeat request consists of a payload the length of the payload, and then some random padding just to make it in block sizes. The heartbeat response was the same payload, different padding, and the length returned to the client, so they know that the message was fresh and from the server. So this is heartbeat normal usage, as Patrick showed it earlier today. Send me this four-letter word if you're there, bird, and the server answers bird. Now the heartbleed vulnerability. In one of the references I have in the paper I wrote last year, this was said to be one of the most consequential vulnerabilities since the advent of the commercial internet. The CVE number, you can look that up. You'll see that the length is specified by the sender and can be the length field can be 2 bytes, which would be about 64 kilobytes of message length. But the length of the actual payload is not checked by the heartbeat extension. In the RFC, the request for comment, when this extension was proposed, it says that if payload length of received heartbeat message is too large, the received heartbeat message must be discarded silently. This was not picked up by the developers, or at least there was, for some reason, they didn't implement it. The OpenSSL team at that time was, I think, 11 employees, one full-time employees and 10 part-time developers with about $1 million in a yearly budget. So no code review or any other developers noticed this bug, and it was online for a long time. A lot of servers use OpenSSL, extremely many servers. Pretty much all Linux-based operating systems run OpenSSL. And there's been some estimations done about how many servers were vulnerable. At least 17% of all the servers in the world were vulnerable to heartbleed in a long period of time. So this is the malicious usage. You ask for the word bird again, but you say that this payload is 500 letters long. The server writes bird into its memory and reads it back to the client, but it reads back bird and then 496 more letters straight from the memory. So I'm going to do a quick demo. What we need for a demo like this, we need a victim server with OpenSSL with a version earlier than 101F. We need some data. I'm going to use Seed Labs because finding a vulnerable operating system online today is actually getting kind of hard. It was not that hard 1 year ago, but it seems to be increasingly harder. And then we need an attack server. And a guy named Jared Stafford made a Python script called attack.py, which pretty much does all the work for you. So I'm going to start by showing you where you can get VMware, the virtual machine software. It could be useful for you. Everyone who's going tech or forensics are going to need to use virtual machines at some point. Next semester, I think you're able to take the malware course if you want to take that. I took that extra last semester, and that was a really great course. You fire up a Windows 7 machine, fill it up with malware, and then you look at what's happening to the machine, pick the malware into its pieces, look what it's doing, who it's contacting. So it's really a great course, and you need to get familiar with the virtual machines. So to find VMware, you have to use the old HIG websites. You go to minside.hig.no. I can post that link up on Blackboard. You can press English up in the right corner here. Go into Students. At the bottom here, you can go to Microsoft Imagine. I can get some Microsoft software like Windows 10 or stuff like that if you want a virtual Windows 10 machine. And you can go to the VMware site here. You log in with your credentials.
NTNU or
HIG? HIG.no.
Many don't have those credentials.
Oh, that's the same. It's the same credentials.
Oh, for students, it's the same. Okay.
Yeah. It was NTNU when I started as well, and I have access.
Yeah. Okay.
What is this, the VMware? Is it the client to run virtual?
Yeah, this is the software. So.
Yeah, but you run it on the PC?
Yeah. So you choose VMware Workstation 12 here. You choose what operating system you want to run it on. Add to cart, pay $0, and you install it, and you get a this application on your computer where you can add new virtual machines, install all sort of Linux operating systems. I have a Windows 10, I have a Kali Linux for the CTFs, and then I have the victim machine and the attacker machine. The victim and attacker machine, I picked up from the Seed projects. You can Google Seed Labs. It's some educational institute, but just Google Seed Labs and it'll show up on the top of the Google results. They have different labs to show you different software security and network security labs. They're pretty much all based on virtual machines, so you download their old Ubuntu 12 super vulnerable operating system, install it on your VM software, and you can run it. So inside Network Security Labs here, we have a Heartbleed Attack Lab. Comes with a lab description and attack.py as files that are needed. Comes with instructions, lab environment, and how you can do this this lab on your own. This is not something you're required to do. You could do it if you're interested. There's also several other labs on Seed Labs' site, so maybe you'll find something on cracking the VEP. You can use that for testing something and write about it in assignment 3. If you have a network adapter capable of packet injection and monitoring mode, you can do that. But I'll fire up the Heartbleed systems. This is the victim machine. On that machine, we're running an old vulnerable OpenSSL and also a web server. So in this lab, they're using an open source social network application called ELGG. So that's running on the victim server. On the attacker server, there's also a system program problem. Now we can open a terminal. I have already attack.py on my desktop. And you just run the Python file. This is very small. So you just run the Python file, and this server is, or this machine I've set up, set it up to know that Heartbleed ELGG.com points to my victim machine. You can do that in the hosts. in the hosts file. You can just, here it is, pointing to my virtual network and the target machine. And it's all described in the PDF that has the lab description on how to do this. Now, if I run this, I'll get a result. It says warning, return more data than it should. The server is vulnerable. And it returns the heartbeat message and then some of the RAM contents. Now, this is pretty much empty because the server will just boot it up. But I'll open a web browser and go to heartbleedlegd.com. Now, this server or this page is hosted by the victim machine. I can log in with an account. I have befriended Charlie and Bobby, and I'll see if I can befriend Sammy as well. I have something to say to Sammy, so I'll say this is a secret message. And I'll send that. Now I've used the web application. So if I go back now and I run this again, we might find nothing. We might find something. It's kind of random where the heartbeat message is put in RAM, but if we run it enough times, we will find a lot of contents in the RAM. So nothing here. And on the third try, we get an HTTPS request. Now remember, if we had this in Wireshark now, we would just see gibberish. Everything's encrypted. But since this is in the server RAM, we get all of the parameters of the URL, including username and password. As easy as that. And this attack does not log on the computer. It's unnoticeable. So this version of OpenSSL was alive for, I think, 2 years without anyone knowing. So in 2 years, about 20% of all the world servers were vulnerable to this bug. And if someone knew about it, they could pretty much extract all the memory contents of any web page running this software for 2 full years. Can run it again. We probably see our message that we sent here. Messages compose send to ID 42, but not the message. Keep on trying. Here we have subject. This is a secret message, and the body is hush. So we got the message. So this is just keep on trying. You get a new part of the RAM every time, and you can sort of piece together the entire RAM. You can even, I think someone showed that you're even able to get the entire private key of the server's certificate. So it's a nasty bug. And some servers are still vulnerable. People are horrible at patching. This was 2014. It's now 3 years ago. And I think there's still quite a lot of vulnerable servers out there. So a nasty bug. It might have been found by legit or white hat people first, but we'll never know. Maybe NSA or some other national surveillance agency had knowledge of this for 2 years before Google and some other researcher found it. And that's pretty scary. So that's the entire demo. You'll find all you need on Seed Labs homepage. That's pretty much what I had to show you today. I think it's an interesting bug to look at. There's bugs like this that don't cause any alarms. You have no idea that they've been used. It's just a dream for black hat hackers. They could exploit this so much before anyone noticed. So I think you should look at VMware, see if you can install it. It's nice to have. Maybe look at some of the labs. I'll be here for another hour or so. I can help you with VMware and the labs if you want to. And yeah, that's what I had.
I suggest that maybe indeed you all just either try to install this as you have just described and try to run this particular assignment. See if there are maybe other assignments that you are interested in, or what is it called, projects or whatever.
Yeah, labs. Yeah.
Labs. Or maybe do as Emil demonstrated, look at Wireshark readings of different kind of communication and see what you can figure out there. Yeah. For the next hour, 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or start working on your assignment.
Yeah. So we're here. Ask if there's anything.
Yeah.